Let me pray. Loving Father, as we read your word together now, please would we hear your voice addressing us in it. And as we do, please teach us how to live today as your people in the light of the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 6, page 1192. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the truth of the faith and of a good teaching that you have followed. They have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to teaching, and to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of the elders laid hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Dave, for reading that for us. Please do keep the passage open in front of you. And if it helps you to jot down a few notes as we go through this, space for that on the third page in the service sheet, and hopefully a pen reasonably nearby in the pews. Well, I wonder what you keep a close watch on. If you've invested money in shares, perhaps you might keep a close watch on the stock exchange to keep track of how your investments are doing, ready to buy and sell as the situation changes. Or perhaps you're thinking the chance would be a fine thing. If you're a sports fan, perhaps you keep a close watch on the results that come in from the various competitions that are going on. Football, cricket, tennis, Formula One, or whatever else is on. Or perhaps sport just turns you off. If you're conscious of your weight, perhaps you keep a close watch on the calories you consume each day and pay careful attention to the labels on the food packaging. Perhaps you keep a close watch over your children, making sure you know where they are, checking what they're looking at on TV or on the internet. Or perhaps there's something else you keep a close watch on, Brexit or new film releases or something like that. I guess we all keep a close watch over things we think are important or things that we're passionate about. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been working through this letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, his friend and partner in gospel ministry. And in this section that we're looking at this morning, Paul urges Timothy to watch something closely that is of great importance. Sometimes it's helpful to spot what we might call a summary verse when we're reading a part of the Bible. A summary verse is a single verse that summarizes what that particular section of Scripture is all about and helps us to grasp its meaning. And verse 16, right at the end of this particular section, is one of those verses. It helpfully summarizes what Paul has to say to Timothy in the rest of the passage. Just glance down it with me now and see Paul's instruction to Timothy. He says this, verse 16, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is of first importance. And notice that there are three themes here that Paul urges Timothy to be mindful of. Firstly, he says, Timothy, watch your life. In other words, be attentive to your conduct and ensure that it is honouring to Christ. Secondly, he says, Timothy, watch your doctrine. Make sure that you don't stray from the truth like the false teachers who are troubling the church in Ephesus. And thirdly, Timothy, remember what's at stake here. It's nothing less than salvation, both your own and that of others. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Timothy is to keep a close watch on these things because they are vitally important, both for those in Christian leadership like Timothy, and indeed for all Christians. And as Paul writes to Timothy, he looks at them in two important areas. Firstly, in the area of Timothy's personal life, and secondly, in the area of his public life. So I've put that first heading in the service sheet, the personal life of a good servant of Christ Jesus. Let's read again from the beginning of the passage, and please look down it with me. Verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, that is, if Timothy points out the error of the false teachers that Paul's just been writing about in the previous five verses that's been unsettling the church in Ephesus, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister, or more literally, a good servant of Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Well, this is a very personal section of this letter of Paul's. These are instructions that he's written to Timothy personally. Yet they apply in some degree to all of us here who are Christians. Paul wants Timothy to be a good servant of Christ. In other words, to be someone who's fruitful and effective for Christ. And he begins by saying that the way to be a good servant of Christ is to feed well. As we'll see more clearly as we read on, Paul's using a picture of an athlete in these verses. And we know that for athletes to perform to the best of their ability, it's important for them to eat well. They need carbs for energy. They need protein for muscle mass. And they need vitamins and minerals. Those are all part of a healthy diet for an athlete that will nourish and sustain them. And Timothy needs to feed well too. He's been given a tough job to do in Ephesus. He's got to confront false teachers who are leading people astray and get the church back onto a firm gospel foundation. But he will only be able to do that if he's sustained and nourished by a healthy diet. And Paul isn't speaking here about loading up on carbs and proteins. He's talking about his spiritual diet. Timothy has received good teaching over the years from God's word. We're told in another of Paul's letters to Timothy that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had both been women who had a sincere faith. And presumably they were the ones who first passed on that faith to Timothy and taught him God's word. And of course he had also spent time traveling with Paul, being taught by him. Just as a child grows to maturity by receiving a good, healthy, nutritious diet, so Timothy had grown to maturity as a Christian through being nourished on good teaching. And Paul says this mustn't stop, but continue. He's to keep on feeding on God's word, nourishing himself with the truth. That's what will enable him to distinguish truth from error as he goes about the work that Paul's given him to do in Ephesus. Now, he's to watch his doctrine by maintaining a healthy diet of God's word. And that's the way for you and me to watch our doctrine. It's by maintaining a daily diet of Bible study, feeding ourselves on the truth of God's word. And many of us will have been well nourished on God's word in the past, for some over many years. And that mustn't stop. We must keep feeding ourselves well from God's word. And that means avoiding the spiritual equivalent of junk food, no matter how popular and attractive it is. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, Paul says. That's what the false teachers were hung up on. Whatever they were, they clearly weren't grounded in God's word. Far from building Timothy up, that would lead to all kinds of health problems. And likewise, you and I need to be aware of any teaching that will divert our attention from the truth of God's word and have nothing to do with it. But a healthy diet is just the beginning. Timothy is not only to feed well, he's also to train hard. Now look again at verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Paul's using the language of the gymnasium, where athletes spend so much of their time getting themselves into peak condition, building their muscles, developing stamina. Well, we may not spend quite as much time in the gym as they do, but I take it that we don't need persuading of the benefits of physical exercise. Now, I like to run occasionally. There are lots of beautiful runs around Hastings. Although, if I'm honest, I did lose interest a bit over the winter and haven't really got going again since, which is why I've put on a few pounds. My wife has been gently encouraging me that it might be a good idea to start again. And she's undoubtedly right. I could do with losing a bit of weight. It would enable me to get into some of those pairs of trousers that are hanging up in my wardrobe. It would be good for my heart. It might help my concentration. And apparently losing weight also helps to reduce snoring at night, which is probably another reason that my wife's so keen for me to start again. Physical exercise is good for us. But Paul says training in godliness is even better still. Physical training is of value, but its value is limited only to this lifetime. Godliness, on the other hand, is valuable both for this lifetime and for the life to come. Well, this godliness that Paul's speaking of is not a new set of rules to abide by, but a whole new way of living altogether. It's a life lived in relationship with the God who made us through faith in Jesus. And Paul's saying that the way to be a good servant of Christ Jesus is to train yourself to live each day in fellowship with him, becoming more and more like him, conducting yourself as he would do, no matter what situation you find yourself in. And that's hard work. Now, rather than being the spiritual equivalent of a couch potato slumped in front of the telly, Timothy is to work hard. He's to be deliberate about growing in Christian maturity. Changing our thoughts and our behavior isn't easy. Just like physical training, it requires persistent, repetitive practice. Now, when a gymnast learns a new routine, they don't get it right at the first attempt, but they keep at it, building their strength, correcting their mistakes, and over time they make progress. Well, for the Christian, training in godliness involves studying our Bibles and praying about the things we're learning and seeking God's help to live in an altogether new way with Jesus as Lord. And we keep going even when we don't get it right at the first attempt. That's the training that Paul wants us to be doing. But there's also a third element. Paul wants us to feed well, watching our doctrine, He wants us to train hard, watching our life and conduct. And he wants us to stay focused, keeping our eyes fixed on salvation. Please look down again at verse 9. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. The Christian life is hard work. It's a life of service. It involves laboring and striving. Jesus said, "I am among you as one who serves." And to follow him means taking on that role of a servant. So why do we do it? Why do we put ourselves through it? If you're not yet a Christian, perhaps you're asking the same question. Why do Christians give up so much of their time and energy, not to mention their money, to serve as they do? Well, Paul gives us the answer here. Because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. All people are in need of salvation. There will be a day when each of us sitting here this morning will stand before God and give account for the way we've lived our lives. And on that day, without Christ, not one of us will be found righteous. The Bible warns us that on that day, without Christ, the verdict on each and every one of us will be guilty. We will all deserve God's condemnation and be confronted with the reality of hell. But in the person of Jesus Christ, God has provided a way of rescue. Jesus is the Savior that all people need. Back in chapter 2, Paul said, "There is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." He did it by dying on a cross for our sins. And what a gracious God to provide us with a way of rescue that we don't deserve. But there is only one way to experience this rescue. And that's to receive it by faith. It's to believe that Jesus has done for me all that is necessary to make me right with God, and to abandon all thought of saving myself through my own good conduct or religious devotion. And for those who do believe, for anyone and everyone who puts their faith in Jesus, there is forgiveness and life. And that is why we labor and strive, Paul says. That's what puts fire in our bellies. It's the knowledge that God is working through us to save all kinds of people and to grant them eternal life through faith. That's why Paul labored as he did. It's why Timothy labored as he did. And it's why we labor as we do in our workplaces and our homes and at church, in buttons and toast, in Sunday club and Christianity Explored. It's not just because we want people to have fun, which we do. It's not just because we want people to be cared for, which we do. It's because we've put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. It's because we want all people to come to faith in Jesus and be saved. So, Timothy, my true son in the faith, Paul says, as you feed yourself on God's word and train hard to live a new life in Christ, keep focused on that great day of salvation. Don't get distracted. Keep salvation front and center, and let the knowledge of that day spur you on. And Paul's word here speaks the same message to us. And if we attend to these three things in our personal lives, then we will know how to live publicly as good servants of Christ. And that's what Paul turns to next, the public life of a good servant of Christ Jesus. Please look down at verses 11 and 12. Paul writes this: command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, Timothy has been given a particular task in Ephesus. He is to command and teach these things to others. But there's one area that Paul is particularly concerned about, and that's the issue of Timothy teaching those who are older than him. Now, whenever someone tries to teach others, there's always likely to be resistance from somewhere. And Paul seems aware that Timothy may meet resistance here. Some of the senior figures in the church may look down on him because of his relatively young age, perhaps at this stage in his 30s, and therefore ignore his teaching. So what's Timothy to do? Well, you can't stop someone thinking negatively of you, but you can give them reason to change their view of you. And that's what Timothy's to do. He's to watch his conduct closely, so that through his behaviour he gives all the believers in the church every reason to think positively of him and to accept his teaching. He can only teach others about the need to feed themselves with a spiritually nourishing diet if he's seen to be doing it himself. He can only teach others about the need to grow in godliness if they can see that he's seeking to do the same. So he's to be a living example to the others in the church. You may realize it comes as a relief to me that he doesn't need to be perfect, but he does need to be making progress. We see that in verse 15. See that everyone may see your progress. And specifically, he's to set an example in the areas of speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Verse 12. In other words, he's to model all areas of the godly life to others. The way to get someone to listen to you about the importance of reading the Bible and living in line with its teaching is by allowing them to see that you're trying to do the same. That's a lesson for each of us, isn't it? The way for new Christians to understand what the Christian life should look like is to see it lived out in the life of other, more mature Christians. See, that's what Paul's talking about here. Are you being an example like that? If you've been a Christian for a while, can other newer Christians look to you and see what following Jesus looks like in the ups and downs of daily life? Does your example encourage them to live all out for him? And if it doesn't, well, isn't it exciting to think that it could? Set an example, Paul says. And he says, spread the word, verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Well, Paul has listed plenty of things that Timothy is not to devote himself to. He's not to be devoted to myths and endless genealogies, like the false teachers. He's not to be devoted to things taught by demons, like those who are abandoning the faith. He's not to devote himself to wine, as others do. But he is to devote himself to Bible-based ministry through the reading, preaching, and teaching of God's word. Well, Paul's referring here to a specific ministry that Timothy has been given in the church. His gift is presumably the gift of preaching and teaching, and the laying on of hands seems to indicate some sort of ordination ceremony, as we would call it. And Paul is reminding Timothy of that occasion when the elders gathered round and laid their hands on him to encourage him not to neglect the role that he's received. He's not to be distracted from the teaching of God's word. That's his priority. And it should be our priority too. Whether we're the ones who are preaching and teaching the Bible or the ones who are receiving that teaching. The reading, preaching, and teaching of God's word is at the very heart of church life. Our health as a church family depends upon it. And so it's not to be neglected. We're to devote ourselves to it. Well, that will mean that we make it our priority to be here every Sunday to listen to God's word being read and preached. It might mean that if we can't be here, we'll set aside time later in the week to listen to a recording of it on the website. And even if we're not the ones who are doing the preaching like Timothy, the Bible does encourage us nonetheless to speak about the things we believe publicly. When we're at work or out with our friends, it tells us always to have an answer for those who question us about our faith. To be willing to share the truth of God with them. Within the church, we're to speak the truth in love to one another. Older women are to teach younger women. We're to teach our children, and so on. We all have responsibility to spread the truth of God's word. Here's an activity that we can each devote ourselves to. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching, Paul says. And finally, he says, don't give up. Verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. There's a wonderful promise here, isn't there? If we persevere in these things, we will save both ourselves and others. That's a promise that we need to keep before us. Now, I want to keep walking the path of salvation until I arrive safely home on that day. Don't you? And as I walk that path of salvation, I want to bring as many along with me as I possibly can. Don't you? If you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, we would love nothing more than to tell you the good news of Jesus so that you too can experience the joy of salvation. That's what we're all about. It's what Paul is urging Timothy to keep at the heart of his ministry. He wants Timothy's goal and focus to be salvation, both his own and that of his hearers. And there's only one way of salvation, and that's through faith in the gospel of Christ Jesus. So Timothy's to be diligent, giving himself wholly to the matters that Paul has just written about. He's to watch his life and doctrine closely. He's to do so for his own well-being, as he nourishes himself on God's words and seeks each day to become more like Jesus. He's to do so for the well-being of others, as he models the Christian life and devotes himself to sharing the truth of God's word with them. And he's to persevere and not give up. He's not to be distracted. He's not to be drawn away from the truth of the gospel. Because what's at stake is nothing less than salvation and eternal life. And perhaps you're getting distracted from the truth of the gospel. Perhaps you're being drawn away from the salvation that only Jesus brings. If so, talk to someone else about it. Find someone who can help you get your focus back on Jesus and the salvation he won at the cross. Hear Paul's exhortation to watch your life and doctrine closely. And like an athlete in a race, fix your eyes on the finish line. One day, you and I, along with all who have put their faith in the cross of Christ, will be welcomed with joy and celebration into the glory of heaven. Fix your eyes on that day and resolve in the strength God gives you to persevere as a good servant of Christ Jesus until that day comes. And not only you, but also those whom you can help and encourage and bring with you along the way. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel and the wonderful salvation that is ours through faith in Jesus. Please help us never to stop growing in our knowledge of Jesus and all that he has done for us at the cross. Please help us continually to make progress in conforming our life and conduct to the truth we know and believe. And please help us to keep persevering until the day of salvation and sharing the good news with others along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.